Just saying yes to anything, but it's saying yes to God Almighty, yes to his will, yes to his way, yes to trusting him, yes, Lord, yes. Greetings, greetings, each of you by the very means of internet radio. You're tuned in to the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. It is my pleasure to be with you on this God-given Monday evening. I pray that your day has been wonderful. And if not, by the end of this program, we want to restore your joy, your peace, your happiness, all that the enemy stole from you on today. And we want to declare that the rest of your week will be wonderful and fantastic. Oh, yeah, we can make that decree. You just have to touch and agree with me in the spirit realm as we believe God for your better to come all week long. You may have some trials. You may have some tribulation. But in the midst of whatever storm you may be in, there's an eye in the midst of that storm. And we want God to center you in his eye, so that no matter what's going on, the peace of God will be with you all day, every day throughout the week. And we're looking for you again on each program, and most definitely we'll be looking for you on Sunday morning for the gospel show, and where we'll be back with you preaching the gospel again. We got a special guest coming up this Sunday. I want you to tune in and listen to the powerful preaching word. But again, before we go on any further, let us go to God. In the beginning of the Monday program, I like to do testimonies and different things. But we have some celebrities that passed over the past weekend. We had Bill Russell, NBA legend, passed away, decent old age. We had, I think her name is Nichelle Nichols from Star Trek. She passed, I think, about 86. Amen. So they lived good years, but they're gone on to stand before judgment. Amen. We just want to be ready when our time comes. We had some hard times that hit our country here in America. Some people had endured floods and tragedies over the past week. And we want to pray for those that have been misplaced, displaced, that have lost everything. We don't know their mental state, but we want to pray that God will keep them in the midst of this trial. One of the hardest, the rebuilding process after the storm, it is collecting what you lost. Some things can't be replaced, especially life. But there's some things that you had accumulated over the years that are more sentimental in value than they are in physical value. And these things are lost. And so we have mental connections to those things because those things gave us certain memories that we were fond of. Maybe be of someone, a past experience, a past loved one, a loved one that's gone on. To stand before God and is no longer here. And so those things, some things are what were passed down from generation to generation. We don't know what the case is. All we know is there's some families right now that are in desperate need of prayer. And we want to offer them prayer today. The disciples came to Jesus one day and they asked him, they said, Jesus, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples also to pray. And he said, when you pray, pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, may our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Father God, we know that is the template that you have given us to pray on. But Lord God, with that, Father God, we want to first of all go back and say we repent of anything that would hinder our prayers from being listened to by you. Lord, we need you to answer our prayers on behalf of others. As we come before you now, not praying for our particular needs, but we petition you, Father God, to meet the needs of others right now in their time of calamity, in their time of need and trouble, despair, and whatever it is that they are enduring. We pray for the families of those family members who have lost loved ones over this past weekend. They don't have to be celebrities that's known to the public. But I'm so thankful, Lord God, that you said the very hairs on our head are numbered, that you know us. Even before we were formed in our mother's womb, you had already ordained us for purpose in life. And so, God, that means we are unique and special in your eyes. And although there may be up 8 billion people on the planet, God, you know each of us one by one and name by name. Whether we confess you or not, you know us. And so, Lord God, we, your children that are called believers, that have accepted the free gift of atonement that you gave us through your Son, Jesus Christ, we stand, Lord God, in the spirit of adoption, whereby we have full right to cry, Abba, Father. We stand before you today, Lord God, asking that you will go into the hospital room, allow your spirit to comfort somebody's heart. Send those that does visitation now that still are able to get in to tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord. Still touch the heart of those family members to visit. Lord God, we know that there's a pandemic that's still in the midst of us, but nevertheless, Lord God, somebody needs to be touched on this evening. Somebody needs your healing grace on this evening. Somebody needs your traveling mercy today if they're traveling abroad. Somebody's near to run out of gas and about to be stranded. Lord God, we ask, Lord God, that you cause the gas station to stay open a little bit longer, that their tenders stay open, Lord God, another hour to tend to them so that they may get the gas that they need. Lord God, we don't know what the circumstances are. We ask, Lord God, that you'll extend the mileage on that gas needle. Lord God, allow the fumes to give them those extra 2-3 miles that they need to get to the gas station, Lord God, so that they are not stranded. Lord God, somebody had a flat tire, Lord God. Lord God, we ask that they pull over safely, Lord God, and not be injured. Lord God, that the spare tire do work, and they are able to change it out, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for those that you didn't allow to get on the road that would have had a flat tire, that would have had an incident or an accident. So we thank you, Lord God, for your providence. We thank you, Lord God, that your delay wasn't a denial. It was just a prevention, Lord God. And we thank you now, Lord God, because what the devil meant for evil, you blocked it. And we want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord God, that you're always watching over us. We pray for our hearts and mind, Lord God, as we reflect back on our past loved ones, Lord God, that's gone on, Lord God. We ask that you will condition our heart, Lord God, that we're not still grieving, that we're able, Lord God, to remember the good times that we had living life and enjoying life with them. We thank you for the time that you had allowed them to be with us. We thank you for the memories that we still have of them, Lord God, both the good and the bad. And we thank you now, Lord God. We thank you for the experience. And, Lord God, we know that a part of life is death. And, Lord God, we accept that because that's what it is. And, Lord God, we ask that you help our heart and mind to be conditioned to deal with what we need to deal with so that when we are talking to others that may be grieving from a recent death of a loved one, from a recent disconnect of a broken marriage or a broken home, that we have the compassion, Lord God, to minister with them, to love them, just to hear them. Sometimes people don't need to hear a lot of words. They just need to know that somebody cares. And so, God, we ask that you will help us, Lord God, in our understanding of their specific needs, Lord God, that we, Lord God, will meet that need, for that's what ministry is all about, finding a need and meeting it. And so, God, as you help us, Lord God, find needs, that means we must be looking, because you only find things when you're looking. And Lord God, every now and then we discover things while we're just moving about. But you find stuff when you're looking for something. Help us, Lord God, to look for those that are lost, that we may, Lord God, direct them back to you through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you now, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that you have given us a right understanding. And even as we deal with salvation on tonight's program, we pray, Lord God, that you will word my mouth, Lord God, and Lord God, that I may, Lord God, with words properly explain what the scriptures are saying concerning salvation as we dive into a text. And Lord God, help us to keep it in the context in which it is written, and help the ears of those that are listening that they may have understanding and clarity of what's being said, and that they may be able to have the informed and complete mind of thought to make a clear decision to choose you. And for those that have already chosen you, we say thank you, and may the word further convince them that serving you is right, loving you is the right thing to do, and teaching others to do so is honorable and joyful all at the same time. Lord God, help us today. We love you, Father God. We pray for the members of the Six Eyes Radio Network team, their family members, the team, and their family members. As we deal with the things of our physical health, we deal with our financial wherewithal, Lord God, as we deal with the things of life, as we try to advance our careers, our businesses, we ask for your guidance and your understanding. And for those that are listening, that are building businesses, that are building their careers, they are looking for employment, Lord God, we pray that you will steady their heart and steady their mind and order their steps that they may walk in the direction that you want them to walk in, that will be beneficial for them and their families. We love you on today, Father God, and we thank you for teaching us how to love you right. Sometimes we say we love you, but we don't love you right. God, we thank you that your word has taught us how to love you properly. And Lord God, we thank you for the relationship of the Holy Spirit that's teaching us how to love on you even more, how to love you the way you want us to love us, the way you want us to love you. And how Lord God, we thank you that you gave us a true definition of love. So we know that love often requires sacrifice of oneself. And we thank you now, Lord God. We thank you for the right understanding. You said in your word, and all I getting, get understanding. And so, God, we pray for understanding tonight, understanding of all things surrounding us, all things that we must understand. Even though things that are unexplainable, give us the peace in them, that we will have the understanding that they are just the chances of life. Your word says time and chance happens to them all. And so, God, we thank you for your word that has given us clarity to know good things and bad things happen all the time. It doesn't necessarily mean that we've done something good or something bad that caused what has happened in our life, but it does mean that it happened. But because it happened, we are assured by your word that at low you're with us always, even to the ends of the world. And so we thank you, Lord God, that we are not alone. We have not been forsaken, nor have we been forgotten, that you love us so. For your word says, you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten son. Your word says that, Lord God, while we was yet died for us, your word says that you commanded your love towards us when we was undeserving. Yes, Lord, you look beyond our fault and you saw our needs. And we say thank you. Thank you right now. Thank you for your generous love, your amazing grace, your awesome favor. We love you today. We pray for Charles, the founder of the Six Eyes Radio Network. We pray for his managerial skills. We pray for his business skills. We pray for his peace and his heart. We pray, Lord God, that you will continue to encourage him to keep on keeping on in you and to trust you in all that he do. Your word have declared, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and all thy mind, and lean not to thy own understanding. So we pray, Lord God, that you would give him your understanding on the things he must do next. We thank you, Lord God, for bringing him thus far. And now, God, we praise you that you're going to take him further as we lift him up before you as a leader in our group. And we thank you now. We thank you for each one name by name. We thank you for their families. We pray for their health, their strength, their recovery. We pray for their wherewithal, their provision, their finances. We pray, Lord God, that need to be restored, that it be restored. Give them the right understanding on how to receive your next increase for their lives. And we thank you now. We love you, Father God. We bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen and amen. Once again, I want to say good evening to all of you. I want to say good evening, Brother Six, and good evening, Missionary Ken. God bless you two gentlemen. How are y'all doing this evening?
How are you doing, Pastor Bonnet?
Doing well, sir. How are you doing today?
Doing okay.
That's good. Trust you didn't have too much of an eventful day?
No, just a hot one and a lot of walking.
Just a hot one. Well, that's all right. Thank God you were able to get where you had to go and return home back to your family safe and sound.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Six, you're there with us. Brother Six, you're there with us?
It's not Brother Six. This is Mikkel.
I'm right here.
There he is. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm good, sir. How are you? Good evening.
Good evening. What is the life of Brother Six on today? Give us, on a scale of 1 to 10, what is your mental?
Mental is great today. It's up there. It's good. Clear mind. Clear thoughts.
Okay.
So, good day today.
Good day. All right. Well, that's good. So you, would you say it's a 9 or 10?
Say it's a 10.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. That's a good thing. 10 is good. You know?
Yes.
You know, you might be one of them kids, you be looking for the bonus questions on your spelling test. You know, they had the two. You had 10 things you had to spell, and then they had two for get extra points. And you might have been the one always got the extra points. So you might be chilling like me. You want 11 or 12 on today, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I'm feeling like an 11 or 12 or something of that nature. Amen.
Right.
I'm just on life. I'm telling God, thank you. I'm excited because God has just been good. I shared with y'all yesterday in the program how God didn't allow my trailer for me to lose thousands of dollars of equipment. It disconnected to the point where I had drove miles away from where it disconnected, and how God preserved it. It was my ram in the bush. It was stuck. It couldn't get loose. It was dug into the ground. I had to dig it out.
God had it anchored for you.
That's it. It was anchored. Man, I almost want to go. I almost want to preach that message from Titus. don't drift away. Amen, boy. I ain't going to do it right now. My voice ain't strong enough to preach that message right now. My voice is still a little strained feeling on my throat from Sunday, ministering back to back. We had a high time in each of those services. And just the Spirit of the Lord was just stirred up in the house of God in both locations. And we just enjoyed the Lord and just enjoyed his presence. I'm so glad that we serve a God that's not dead, that he still speaks to his people, that he still loves on his people. And I'm just glad that God is an active God. You know, there were movies that God's not dead. Have you ever seen that, Ms. Mac, Ken?
Nope, but Emily's got a good testimony for you tonight.
Okay. Well, we'll get hers in a moment. I want you to check out that movie at your leisure called God's Not Dead. There's a second version coming out, if it's not already out, a part two. But it's a wonderful testimony of it gives the depiction of what a lot of people deal with as they go out to college and how they have to deal with the world and its methodology of teaching and how you may have people that comes against the absolute of Christianity and will refute the presence of God. But, you know, you can't refute that there's a God, there's a creator. I mean, if you look at a painting, you won't say it wasn't a painter. If you look at a house, you won't say there wasn't a builder. If you look at a car, you won't say there wasn't a designer. We can look through all of life itself and see that there was someone that did it. But then we look at the trees and the animals and even the people and say, oh, it just happened by itself. That's crazy. That's crazy talking. That's backwards thinking. If everything else had a hand, there was a hand in its development, surely there was a hand in the development of every man and woman on the planet, of every creature, big, large, small, all the birds, all the fishes, all the animals in the sea, there was a hand. And that hand, there was the hand of Almighty God. Genesis introduced him to us as Elohim. Three in one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He exists, you all. And to those that are listening, I don't know whether you came across this station by accident or you just wanted to see what the Six Eyes Radio Network was all about. Well, this is what we're about. We believe in Jesus Christ. Yes, we do. We do. We believe in Jesus Christ. And from this program, we stand on the absolute of the Bible. I often give my affirmation of faith. And matter of fact, allow me to give it to you again. Most of you that have listened to me know that I am a ordained elder in the Church of God in Christ. I've been licensed. I've been ministering now for well over 27 years. It's been more than 27 years of ministry for me. I kind of follow it with my anniversary, my wedding. I know I've been married 26 years. I was ministering a year prior before my marriage when I accepted my call in ministry. And so God has been kind to allow me to speak as an oracle of his. So, and I pray that I have been faithful to those that who have been listening to me over the years. I'm thankful to all the many people I had the opportunity to witness to, the countless people I had the time to preach to and to pray for and to prophesy to, all that God allowed me to do. I'm thankful. But an affirmation of faith is something that you affirm. We affirm these things to be true in our faith, and this is the thing that we stand on. We believe that there's only one God eternally existing in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I skipped, we believe, the Bible to be the only infallible written word of God. We're not talking about translations. We're talking about the original sacred scriptures. We believe in the blessed hope, which is the rapture of the church of God, which is in Christ at his return. We believe that the only means of being cleansed from sin is through repentance and faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We believe that the regeneration by the Holy Ghost is absolutely essential for personal salvation. We believe that the redemption work of Christ on the cross provides healing for the human body and an answer to the believing prayer. We believe that the baptism of the Holy Ghost, according to Acts 2 and 4, is given to believers who ask for it. All you got to do is ask God for it. Ask God for his spirit. We believe that the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit, by whose indwelling the Christian is enabled to live a holy and separate life in this present world. Amen. That's what we believe. We believe it. We stand on it. We know it to be true, and we thank God for it. Amen and amen. Now, you said, Brother Six, I think you said Sister Emily. Hi, Sister Emily. Are you there? You have a testimony?
Yeah, she does. She has a testimony for you, and here she is.
All right.
Hey, Pastor Vonner, how are you, Dad?
Good evening, lady. How you doing this evening?
Blessed and highly favored.
I like that answer. I like that answer. Hearing it from you make me want to jump up and just shout for you. Slowly.
Well, tonight I was planning on going. I walked over to Wendy's. Well, Wendy's dining room was locked and nobody around. So I go across to Arby's. I order the food I was getting. I pulled my money out to pay. The manager came over and he goes, hey, your money is counterfeit. And I said, excuse me, no, it's not. He goes, yeah, it is. He goes, because there's a customer at the window that's paying for your food.
Wow.
It was like almost 30 bucks in food. And
wow.
This customer at the drive-through took and paid the entire bill, and I didn't have to put nothing.
To God be the glory. Look at the kindness that God will put in people's heart to pay it forward. Wow. That's awesome. Don't tell me God don't feed his children.
And, Dad, there was one other blessing I had even earlier today that this was after me and Missionary Ken got back here.
Uh-huh.
I had not talked to my son in about 3-4 months now, but I was getting text messages on things he was saying.
Okay.
Missionary Ken was in his garage listening to a talking book. All of a sudden, my cell phone rings. I'm sitting there thinking, who in the world is calling me? Because I didn't realize it was my ex-sister-in-law's cell phone number.
All right.
So all of a sudden I pick up, I go, hello. And my son goes, how you doing, Mom? Long time no talk to. And did I hear Big Brother out here tonight?
Six?
Uh-huh.
Yes, he is on the line.
I was also asked to relay a message to him that my son and my daughter have been listening to every broadcast, and every time he fires off text and drive, my son goes, how'd he do that? That's cool. He says, and tell Mr. Six, I said, he got to do one with a school bus.
Oh, Lord. You see, you shouldn't have gave him no idea of that. I see it coming now.
Hey, I didn't give him the idea. That was my son's idea, not mine. I'm just relaying the message to head boss man, big brother.
School bus drivers are getting hard enough as it is. That we don't want to give them no that. They get scrutinized as it is now. That'd be nice to school bus drivers.
Oh, he said it would be funny to see what kind of text and drive he could do for a school bus. I said, yeah, that'd probably be real cute.
That's all right. That's all right. To all of our listeners on this evening, we want to welcome you to the 6 hours.
You opened my dad's mic, honey.
I did. Let me close it back.
Yeah, he's not a real big talker.
At all. But he has been a faithful listener, always calling me in, always there. And many times I've seen him be the first one on the board majority of the time. And I also want to say to him, thank you for always listening in. And I know if you're listening in, you're definitely praying for us as a station, as a people, and we want to say thank you, sir. And may God continue to heal your body and strengthen your resolve. Amen. I have opened up all the lines, and we want to say once again good evening to all the Six Eyes Radio listeners, to those that are on the line this evening. If you'd like to say hello at this time, go right ahead. One mic, that means one person at a time, if you would. But your line is open. If you'd like just to say hello, hello to Six, hello to myself, or I just want to say hello, world. You have this opportunity. If you have a testimony and you like to share something good that God has done for you this past week or so, we'll love to hear that as well.
I have a testimony and a praise.
All right. Hey, Sister Lila, how you doing?
I'm doing good. God bless me with a place over my head, food in my belly, a bed to sleep in. And I also like to give a praise for the staff being here to support me in my time of need, and my wonderful, beautiful sister Heather to put up with my attitude.
No shit. Oh, sorry. I didn't know we were not square.
My attitude, my mood swings, and all that other stuff that I go through, and I put up with her too. So,
no.
I put up with her because she puts up with mine, and we put up with each other's moods and stuff like that. So, I got to give her kudos on that.
Well, we're praying for y'all. We're thankful to that y'all are able to do it.
If you want to say hi to Sister Heather, you can. She's right here.
Well, we just want to say hello and thank you for listening on this evening. God bless you. We pray that something is said will encourage you in your faith in God and your walk with him. Preferably, you are a born-again believer. And if not, by the end of this program, we pray and hope that you will confess Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And if you once did it and you felt like you have walked away from some commitments in following Christ, we pray that you renew your faith and renew your heart back towards God to do the things of God and live according to his way. And that's the only way you can do that is through building a positive relationship with him by utilizing his word that informs you of the benefit for being a kingdom child. That's right. There's benefit for being a child of God, and those benefits are there for you every single day. And when you're a child of God, it doesn't matter who your earthly father and mother is. There's no greater father than our Heavenly Father, because he knows how to provide for you everything that you need even before you know you have the need. And he's an awesome God. So we pray that, once again, we say thank you for listening in. Thank you, Sister Lila, for your testimony. And we continue.
Oh, Pastor Brian, is it too late to give a testimony?
No, ma'am. Hey, Sister Ruth, God bless you. It's always good to hear you.
Yeah, I took my wheelchair down to urgent care tonight, and I have cellulitis of the abdominal wall, and they removed a bunch of my abscesses across my abdomen, and I had a lot of blood, and I actually, all at once, I could hardly see, and they said, that's probably because your sugar went up, and my sugar went up to 200, so I want to praise the Lord that I also had a gentleman, J.P. Ducro, brought me home, so that was nice, and I just want to praise the Lord for helping me tonight.
Amen. Thank God for help. Thank God for provision. Amen. Amen. Is there another? The world needs to know that God's still looking out for his people. He still take care of us. Come on. Anybody else have one? I thank you for – thank y'all for sharing, too. You know, I know it's always dangerous when you open up a mic on radio, because you never know what people may say. But I just trust and believe that people, when they're genuine and share what their genuine experience, regardless of how it may seem, I'm thankful that you had an experience where you can give God credit. And that's what's important to me. And I think that's what's important for others to hear, that God is still active in the world, and he's still showing his love for people through other people. And so we're thankful for that. We're thankful for that. So do I have another before I close the mics and move on? Is there another? Is there another testimony? Is there another person that likes to say hello? All right. There she is. I was waiting.
Was waiting on me?
Yeah.
All right. Praise God. Praise God. Just want to say hello to everyone, and I'm just thankful God's protection over my life, and thankful that when I went to the hospital a week or so ago, that it wasn't as bad as it could have been. So I'm thankful for that, and I thankful for God's healing. And just thankful for the love that I have, the loved ones that I have in my life. And I want to continue to grow. I'm thankful for the blessings and the talents that he's given me. And thankful that I can do all that I can do.
Amen. Amen. Later on, I need to send you a link to some natural products that I think that as you go through it and look through it, you'll see it's going to be some stuff on that that's going to be able to help you real well. Sister Ruth, I think likewise, thing for you. I try to send y'all my link to some all natural products that really help deal with inflammation in the body and so on. And I won't get into it in too much detail on this program, but there are things that God has allowed to be in our world today that really helps our body to recover, to heal. There's natural things that deals with pain in our body, inflammation in our body. Things that we can do that's not so super expensive. We know we live in a commercial society where the more something is needed, they tack on a higher price tag to it, even though it may not cost as much. but because it's a demand on it, those that behind the scenes see it as an opportunity to line their pocket. But there are some things out there now that are genuinely there to really help promote healthy environment, a healthy lifestyle. And so we just have to make the conscious decision to do those things that's going to be more healthier for our bodies, that's going to help us to be stronger mentally and physically. And so it's a process, and we all must go through it. Once again, I want to say thank you for everybody that joined in. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
The favor of God stops your being manipulated by the circumstances. People say, well, under the circumstances, so-and-so. Well, what are you doing under the circumstances? With the favor of God, you're supposed to be on top of the circumstances. Stop being manipulated by circumstances. Stop worrying about the unknown. Some of you are young, and you're worried about the unknown. Stop it. If you have favor with God, it will be well with you. It will be well with your children. It will be well with all you put your hands to, because the favor of God is already in the future, working out the future. Things you don't even know are about to happen. God has already straightened them out in your behalf, because you and you and you are favored of God.
Amen. We want you to get your Bibles. Tonight we'll be coming out of the book of Romans, so go ahead and turn to Romans, and we'll jump into our lesson on today. Get your Bibles. I want you to follow me as we read together and study together in the Word of God.
Fitness is a big part of my life, and I've learned that it needs to be regular, a discipline we need to do especially on the days when we're not in the mood and don't have a lot of energy. And like physical fitness, our spiritual fitness is something we tend to put off. But regular time alone with God is essential in getting to know Him. I wrote my new book of 365 devotions right from the heart to serve as a spiritual warm-up. It's not a substitute for talking with God through prayer and listening to God through the study of His Word. It's a supplement to get the spiritual juices flowing. I pray that the Lord will bless you through each day's message. May these thoughts give you a hunger to know Him. And most of all, I hope they'll connect you with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Meeting with God is a way to have a meaningful and abundant eternal life. Some common questions people ask about quiet time. Number one. With all the stresses of life, how do I make time daily for a quiet time? Well, there's never time for a daily quiet time. As a pastor, I sure don't have enough time for a quiet time. But I have to ask God for a hunger to know Him and a hunger to spend time with Him. Then it becomes the most important appointment of my day. I keep daily lists, and number one on my daily appointment list is time alone with God. I encourage you to do the same. Number two, by using Right from the Heart, what would a daily quiet time look like? I decided to write these devotions short and easy to understand because people really are pressed for time. So first, ask God to open your mind and heart, read the scripture reference, maybe reread it again, then read the devotion for the day and let it sink in. Don't be tempted to read ahead. Just one a day will give you a fresh food for thought and get your spiritual juices flowing. And then ask God for a special time with Him through prayer and Bible study. I hope in the process that you get to hear from God.
said not so good lately. Then I told her, girl, you know, you can always talk to me. She said these days haven't been so happy, haven't had much peace of mind. Now I know that I should be praying, but I haven't had much time. So could you tell me?
Thank you, Mary, Mary. Still my child. Amen. That is something to know, to really have in your heart. A lot of times life can unfold in a certain way that we may misbehave. I'll put it that way. And in our misbehavior, we may have different attitudes at different moments that we have what I like to call the can't help it. It's good to know that still God, you are still God's child. It's good to know that God just don't throw you away because you made a mistake. That's what grace is really for. Grace is truly the opportunity to ask for forgiveness. Grace is the unmerited favor of God, something we can never, ever deserve. We don't deserve it, but it's yet applied to us. Now, grace don't stay with us always because you got some people that rebel so much to the time of their grace runs out. Now, we could take time and go into that, but that's really not the point of our emphasis today. Part of our emphasis today is to focus on the salvation of God. Salvation for all who believe. Salvation is for all who believe. So it doesn't matter of your physical size. Doesn't matter of your actual age. It doesn't matter of your skin tone. It doesn't matter whether you're male or female. All that matters is your personal belief. So I told you to go to Romans. Hopefully you're at the book of Romans. You're probably there at chapter 1, wondering what chapter I'm going to go to. Well, I'm going to ask you to find now chapter 10. as we study together, once again, chapter 10 in the book of Romans. And although I'm going to read the King James Version, on my digital device, I'm going to pull up the New Living Translation as well, so that we can do some comparison in as we are studying this particular text. Now, we want to focus in on verses 5 through 17. And once again, my voice is a little strained this evening, so I pray that you're able to hear me clearly and that I'm coming across with clarity of speech. Romans chapter 10, verse 5. And we want to read this from the King James so that we're all on the same page. Okay? But the word of the Lord reads, Romans chapter 10, verse 5. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend to heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend to the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what says it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith. What's in your heart? The word of faith, which we preach. For preachers supposed to be preaching the word of faith. Verse 9. That if thou confess, here's the word of faith. If, that if, conditional, very clear, condition is based on the individual. So you that are listening, if you confess, so if you didn't confess, if you haven't confessed, you still have the opportunity to confess. And hear what it says, that if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. So I guess if you're mute, your mouth will still be your spoken heart inwardly. You can sign it if you want to, but it is something you must say, whether it coming out to be heard of others, but it must be spoken from within your being. And so you may physically cannot speak words because of muteness, but your heart still speaks because your mind still processes thought. To verse 9, that if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, the purpose of confessing the Lord Jesus with your mouth is this is something that's done openly. It's not something that you just do privately. You're not in a closet. You're not hiding somewhere. It may just be you and the other person who's preaching this to you. But nevertheless, it is something you must openly confess. Okay? And I come back, if I remember, to give you a story of a person who could not talk that made a confession of receiving Christ as their Lord and Savior at the point of death. Amen. Wonderful testimony. Wonderful testimony. But anyway, let me move. That if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe, combination, in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart a man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession he is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew, that means those that was given the law and responsible for carrying it out, nor the Greek, those that live by other means. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. That means he has no shortage of giving out his favor, his grace, his mercy, his kindness. For the scripture does say God is long-suffering, so he endures us. So the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And there's a period right there. You shall be. If you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart, I mean, you have called upon him. That's the description of how to call upon him. And you have called upon him. He said, you shall be saved. Now, verse 14 goes on and tells us, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? This part, the believers to hear. Those that have already received Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. This information is for us to understand, just like someone had to tell us. It is our responsibility to reciprocate that, to continue that, to duplicate that. Amen. So it says, verse 14, how then shall they call on him, him being Christ, in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? So if a person has only been taught Buddha, Krishna, Muhammad, or whatever other type of religion or faith from the Holy Trinity, how would they know any difference if we that have believed and received the grace of God and have received atonement, if we don't resound it, how can they hear it? So that they may believe. If we don't testify of our conversion to share our testimony, then how can they believe in him that they don't know nothing about? The Apostle Paul is a wonderful character witness of this text, that he was a devout Jew, and he upheld the Jewish tradition to its fullest, pre-Christ. Post his Damascus experience, road of Damascus experience, where he received Christ, the very thing that he was going after to tear down, now was revealed to him. It was the fulfillment of Scripture, and Christ fulfilled the law, and him being a student of law, realized that Christ is the Son of God. And I said is, not was, because he's not dead. And when he realized that, the very zeal that he had towards his previous faith transferred over to his newfound joy and understanding, and he began to minister to all that did not know the truth. And he was able to share with them on multiple levels, whether they was rich or poor, whether they believed in the Jewish tradition or not. He was able to gather those and give them the information that they needed for salvation, because number one, he knew his own personal conversion. So many times the start of his conversation to an open public was his testimony. And because he had spent years of studying and listening to the Holy Spirit, God gave him revelation to help us understand some things now today. So he's credit for two-thirds, nearly two-thirds of the New Testament. And so we're thankful for him in the book of Romans as he's talking to this group of people and sharing with them some real understanding of their Christian conversion. The mid part of verse 14 says, and how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? I'm going to stop you right there, because the word preacher is someone who's proclaiming. You don't have to be a licensed minister to preach something. Somebody ever been fussing at you? You say, you'll stop preaching at me. Well, they wasn't a preacher. It was just adamant about what they were saying to you. And you felt like someone was proclaiming something to you and overwhelming you with what they were saying. So all of us that are believers of Christ and have received redemption, we have a job. And I can prove that from the book of Matthew, that it's just not the licensed minister job to go out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, but it's the responsibility to all that see Christ. Well, preacher, we don't see Christ. Isn't he up in heaven? Now, I see him. I feel him. I have an encounter with him. And if you are redeemed, you had an encounter with him yourself. So you see him. You see him through the Holy Spirit. You experience his teaching and his understanding through his written word. So we do see him. Verse 15. And now, excuse me, and how shall they preach except they've been sent? Wow. I'm going to pause right there. I want you to turn your Bibles back to the book of Matthew, which is the first book of the New Testament. I want you to go to chapter 28. And pick up there at verse 18. And I'm reading in New Living because that's what my digital device was on. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I've been given all authority in heaven and in earth." Well, it's very important for me to note that the Great Commission actually starts at verse 16. Tells us that there was a multitude of people at the day Christ ascended into the heavens. So no more than 500 people experienced his ascension into the heavens. Verse 16 said, "Then the 11 disciples left from Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and said and told his disciples, 'I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples.'" Here is your permission to go. The word disciple is student or disciplined student. And we all are supposed to be students of Christ. That means we study Christ. We study the gospel. All of us should be disciplined. That means we apply those teachings to our life. We don't just study and tell others what to do and we don't do, but we are first partakers of doing as he has instructed. So he said, "Therefore, because all power has been given unto him," he says, "therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." I mean, don't discriminate whom you share the gospel with, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, teaching those new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We have already been given the authority by Christ to proclaim the gospel. So how shall they preach, proclaim, except they've been sent? You have been sent. Now, I really like reading this from the King James because when you read that, them last two verses, they really sound like this. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. Go. Go, 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 go. Where you going when you go to work? Where you going when you go to the grocery store? Where you going when you go to the laundromat? Where you going when you go walking down the street? When you go to the park? Go. Go when you go by your neighbors. Go. Teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe. That word observe is observation. How can people observe something? That means they must see it. They must see it. They must see it in who? Me. I wouldn't be much of a preacher if what I was telling I wasn't living. In other words, don't allow a naked man to sell you clothes. How you going to sell me a suit and you in blue jeans and a T-shirt? Nah, I need to see some commitment on your part. You know, you trying to sell me life insurance or medical insurance, and I ask you how much you have. You say, oh, I don't have none right now. Well, that don't make sense. Likewise, we must be partakers first. Engaged first. Tuned in, locked in to this. So back to Romans chapter 10, verse 15. Once again it says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful, wow, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Wow. The gospel of peace. Don't throw everybody in hell while you're preaching the good news of Christ. Condemnation is already a given. You don't have to tell the sinner, yeah, gonna burn. You're gonna burn. I almost want to play that commercial now. Christianese. Turn or burn, turn or burn. As if you're trying to scare someone in. Now, I'm not saying don't teach them the like of their response to accept the gift of God through Jesus Christ will mean that they are destined to their fate and that final destination is hell. You are to warn them of that. But don't let that be your selling point. The push tells men to come to Christ is when you share how good God transformed your life. So you must be purposeful in winning. You think about a recruiter from the colleges as they go out to recruit members to join their team, whether it's soccer, football, the ball, the knowledge bowl team, the ethics, whatever they're doing. When they go to these people, they're not talking bad about the other colleges. They're not condemning this college or that college. They're highlighting the benefit that will be afforded to them for joining team, their university. They're sharing the liberty that will be given to them if they decide to go with them. And that's the way you recruit people. It's amazing the world can be greater at recruiting. Even the dope boy, the dope man, know how to recruit better than some Christians. That's a sad commentary. Because they have a way of influencing whom they're trying to pull to make attractive or appealing what they're offering. I don't want to offer someone that getting saved is only these four walls under this building. Because God is so much more than the four walls of our churches. our churches is a box. And God is greater than any box that we can try to put him in. And the reason why we are boxed out of so many things as believers is because we have God in a box. But if we would take God out of the box, he will remove us from our own box of life, those things that are hindering us. It's so amazing to me that out of 12 men that was in a boat going to the other side, when they saw Jesus, yes, all 12 was afraid. And when Jesus said, don't be afraid, it's just me, Peter said, well, if it's really you, bid me to come. Command me to come. Give me the authority to come to you. And Peter, believing it was him, was able to get out of the box called boat and did what no other man than Jesus did, walk on water. Yeah, we want to highlight that he began to sing, but he had sense enough to say, Lord, save me. And Christ grabbed him by the hand, picked him up. They walked back to the boat, got in the boat. Nobody else said, me too, Lord. You don't hear no other discussion about that. But in my mind, if I can use my sanctified imagination, I can imagine the other 11 touching Peter like, man, dude, you were walking on, do you realize what you know? Dude. They sat there giving him praise when it was about him. They probably tried to figure out what just happened. You probably had just a overwhelming amount of different emotion amongst the men. But that gives us a percentage, 1 out of 12. If only 1 out of 12 people actually believe God to do the impossible, it's no wonder we're falling behind. If only 1 out of 12 Christians actually share the gospel, it's no wonder the world is seemingly going to hell in a handbasket. 1 in 12. 1 in 12 dare to say, God, if that's you, let me come. Let me do what I see you do. 1 in 12. Those are not good statistics. No, good statistics is like saying 4 out of 5. That's a good statistic. Not all 5, but 1 out of 5. 4 out of 5, that's pretty good. But 1 out of 12? One out of 12, actually less than 10%. That is sad. Once in my evangelism study, the numbers was only 4 out of 100 Christians can actually share their faith with confidence. That's a shame on us as believers, because we have the only true power in this world on our side, and we won't use him like he's designed to be used. We won't share. It's like having a phone that you can charge other things up with the backside of your phone, but you never charge anything up with it. And people be around you, and you're like, oh, your battery about to die? Okay. But you have reverse charging on your phone. And you know their battery about to die, and you can charge their phone up. You can give them a little juice. But you don't. So how shall they preach except they've been sent? We've been sent already. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I want to tell you that God, the creator of all that is, desire for you to have an eternal existence in a glorious place prepared for you so that you can spend eternity knowing who he is. That's the good news. Verse 16, but they have not all obeyed. Wow. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Everybody that hear, they ain't all obeyed. Even some of you that's listening to me, whether it's on a recording, whether you're here by accident, on purpose, some of you still not gone. I don't know, but one scripture, I don't talk to people like that. You're going to find all the excuses you want to not be a witness, to not share the truth. You're going to find what you're looking for when you don't want to do. Let me keep on. That's a little pastoral in me. I have to shake up the congregation. Excuse me. Let me go back to the evangelistic mode, teacher mode. Verse 16 says, but they have not all obeyed the gospels, for Elisha's Lord, who has believed our report. Question mark. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I want to read those last two verses to you from Romans 10, which is 16 and verse 16 and 17. I think I go back to 15. It said, and how will anyone go and tell them about being sent? That is why the scripture says, how beautiful are the messengers who bring good news. Verse 16. Everyone welcomes the good news. For Isaiah, the prophet said, Lord, who has believed our message? Verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. I want to definitely read 17 because sometimes the way King James Version, you may not understand. He's talking about what we're hearing. in the world today, there's a lot of noise. There's a lot of people saying, follow me, follow this, you should do this, you should do that. So faith comes from hearing. Faith is what you believe in. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of not seen. That's what now faith is. So faith, the thing hoped for, the eternal life, comes from hearing. And what are you hearing? The good news is Christ offers eternal life. Let's say forever. Never die. This flesh gonna die. But the spirit being that we are, we will not die. Whether you save or not save, you're still not going to die. That means if you don't believe in Christ and you don't want Christ, you're still not going to die. So what death is it talking about? That death is the eternal separation from the Creator. And those that are separated eternally from him are punished through hell fire. And that fire in the end shall be cast into a lake of fire. And Isaiah already said hell has enlarged herself. So when you think about the vastness of hell, and then that going to be thrown into a lake, how great is that lake that has already consumed a vast amount of souls? Over the begin from the beginning of time to now, and through the rapture of the church and the second coming of Christ, two separate things, two separate events. The rapture of the church and the second coming of Christ, those are two separate events. It is our job as believers to share our faith, and those that hear, when they see how we live and how we enjoy God. You know why Disney World is so attractive? They don't just show Disney World with Daisy and Mickey running around in costume. What they do show is Daisy and Mickey interacting with other kids, and they see the faces, smiling faces of those kids, as they are overwhelmingly surprised and happy and full of joy from shaking Mickey's hand, standing next to Daisy, getting a picture taken, as Donald and Duck and Goofy and all of them that comes and take pictures and walk with them and laugh with them, and the rides that they're riding. All you see is a joyful time. That's what makes going to Disney World or Disneyland so wonderful. It's not the characters by themselves. It is the interaction of those characters and those themes with the people. What makes heaven so wonderful is the interaction that we're going to have with one another and God. And we have to be able to show that God is not waiting on us to get to heaven to show us a good time, to let us enjoy life. Jesus said that, think not that I come to destroy. He said he came to fulfill. He said the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I come that you may have life and have it being life. Life on this side, not eternal, but the temporal, that you may have it more, M-O-R-E, more. That means if you got one cookie and I give you another cookie, you got more. So if you got one cookie and I give you two cookies, then you got so much more. If you got one cookie and I give you a dozen cookies, you got an overflow of more. And what God offers us as believers is much, much more. He said, I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Abundantly. That's an overflow. That's an overflow word. That's an overflow expression. So being saved, most people, when you talk about being saved, they say, I ain't ready to be restricted. Being saved is not being restricted. It's being truly freed, because I'm no longer bound by the laws of sin and death. The law that made me a transgressor is the law that people are still trying to keep that they can't keep. Instead of enjoying Christ and faith in Christ, knowing that he develops us, he matures us to the things that have violated the law, we no longer do them because they're not a concept no longer in our mind to do. To whom the Son set free is free indeed. Come to make us free, not to shackle us in traditions and laws. Yes, there's structure. Yes, we must do this and that. But I want you to think about those that have a marriage. In the secular world, the average thought concerning marriage is between two individuals, and a third person is a violation of that relationship. That mind frame is something we all accept, except for those that now want to be called swingers and other things. But it is across the board, whether you go to church or not, a relationship is something to be honored and respected. Whether you are able to do it or not, that's another story. But it is expected. And when it is violated, the people that looks at it from a different way, they look at that and they frown upon it. They do not highlight it. It is not glorified. Not a fact. They have a word for it. When somebody try to break up somebody else's relationship, they call them a home wrecker, a home wrecker. Well, the devil wants to break up your relationship with God. He's a home wrecker because your eternal home should be in heaven. He want to tear that up. He want to break that up so that you don't have the opportunity to share your existence with God. He wants you to be miserable like him and be punished throughout eternity. It may be truly hard for us to really wrap around the word eternity. But just one thing to give us an idea of what eternity can possibly be. If you consider 10,000 years as a long time, I want you to imagine in your mind living 10,000 years, then I want you to multiply that by 10,000 more years. And after you have multiplied that 10,000 by 10,000 years, even if you multiply that again by another 10,000, whatever that adds up to be, when that time frame has passed, eternity will still be in its genesis state. So if you think living on this earth 50, 60 years and you call people old at 60, we had a celebrity die, they was 86, and we say that's a good old age. That's nothing compared to eternal. Nothing. That's why the lifespan of man here on earth is just a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow, it is a vapor. Encourage you that we haven't seen all that God has to offer us. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard all the good things that God has prepared for those that love him and are to call according to his purpose. That's on earth. So if on earth we can celebrate the goodness of God and the things that he gives us, how much more will he give us in eternity? We ain't seen the new worlds yet. We ain't seen the possibilities of technology. We ain't seen the advancement of life like God wants to give it. Can you truly imagine a world without chaos or crime, without hunger, without jealousy and envy? Well, that's the world he has to offer. You don't need a little bad to enjoy good. But you can enjoy good because it's good all by itself. Period. Well, I've come to the end of my program on today. There is much more that we can discuss concerning this matter. But I want to say thank you for listening and allowing me the opportunity to share with you my thoughts concerning Romans chapter 10, verses 5 through 17. I hope and pray that something that I've said have encouraged you on trusting God. I pray and hope that something I've said on today caused you to really go after him and be all that you can be for him, because you haven't seen your best yet until you have sought God for his best concerning you. So God bless you, Missionary Ken, Brother Six. If either one of you would like to give some station information of oncoming programming, ways of supporting, ways of getting this information, I welcome you guys to give that information at this time. Once again, to all the listeners, thank you. This has been a Motivational Monday with yours truly. You have been touched with the true word of faith by yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Minot. God bless you and God keep you.
Thank you. Thank you. You can enjoy the 6 Hours Radio Network by going to two options you got. You can go to Apple Music, and in the search you can type in 6 Hours Radio, SIXEYES space RADIO, and press subscribe, and you'll have the whole 6 Hours Radio lineup 7 days a week of what you really want, the 6 Hours Radio Network. Also, for the Android users, go to the iHeart app, download that, and in the search type in 6 Hours Radio, SIXEYES space radio, RADIO. And once again, press subscribe and you'll have the 6 Hours Radio Network on demand. You'll get notified each show when it comes on. You'll get an email and you'll get a notification on your phone. To help keep this station going, you can give a donation if you have the PayPal on your phone. The email address you'll enter is SIXEYES, the number 6, at gmail.com. And once again, that is email address, SIXEYES, and visit number 6, at gmail.com. Whatever God puts in your heart to help us keep bringing you a great program will be greatly appreciated. For the Cash App users, that would be $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit 4. Once again, for Cash App users, that would be $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit 4. And again, whatever God puts in your heart to help us keep bringing you a great program will be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. On tomorrow's program, we have the Word of the King. And that will be at 7, what time?
It's at 9 p.m., 8 p.m. It's at 8 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, that's 9, 7 my time. Amen. Amen. Ken, what time your program come on Wednesday? And give us some information.
Okay, the Wednesday night Bible study and the 6 Eyes Gospel Bus will be rolling out at 7 p.m. Eastern here at the 6 Eyes Radio Network. And we have lots of good stuff on the program and on the bus. You could check out Pastor Bonnet as he's trying. Will he do it? Trying to beat 6 with the song and poem. Does he get the right buzzer or the wrong buzzer? Will he beat 6? And secondly, we have, of course, Ruth and her Bible prophecy, along with me giving a special message each night on the Wednesday night Bible study. And, of course, great Southern gospel, country-type gospel songs, where you get to have a nice hoedown for Jesus. Amen.
Oh, all right. I like that. All right. We have a program called AJ and the Squad. What day is that?
That is Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern.
All right.
And then, of course, the Jumbo Braille program, that occurs on Thursday nights at 9 p.m., usually featuring, unless we have a special guest, it usually features Dr. Doug Quick as he brings a message to us. And he is from Waycross, Georgia, very good preacher, and he is very solid in the word, and you'd very much enjoy him as well.
Amen, amen. Then we have six on Saturday, himself playing some all kinds of music, Mr. DJ himself, amen. So we got a lot of programming for you that are listening, a lot of different things, and if you download the app, you can listen in to any of these broadcasts at any given time. And we pray that it bless you, encourage you, motivate you. And most of all, we just want you to be safe, enjoy your life, trust God, don't drink and drive, don't text and drive, and we love you. We want to see you next week, all week long. We want to see you next week and the week after that until Christ comes. We want you to keep tuning in and sharing with us each week. So God bless you and God keep you. To all our listeners today, thank you for calling in. Thank you for being part of the program. Until next time, I want to bid everyone a safe and wonderful good night. May you rest well in Jesus' name. God bless you. God keep you. When I say unto one, I say unto all, watch as well as pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Good night, all. I love you with the love of Christ.